This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment for longer-lasting disease and insect protection for wheat and barley seeds, young seedlings, and roots.
Snow in Montana, record-breaking temperatures in the southeast, and it is soggy out there here in the Midwest. It looks like there might be some sun in the outlook. We'll find out what to expect in the U.S. and in South American weather when we take a deep dive into the weather outlook today.
Live from Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk. Today on the show, Bam WX. That's right, both the dynamic duo, Chip.
Yes, both of them. Michael and Kirk.
All right.
They're both on the line.
We've got the inside scoop on who needs to be watching for frost and whether we're going to see a repeat of the 2018 harvest weather. We also have Bubba with the field from the CME. And now here he is, the heat miser, the Mother Nature's snow miser, Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you so much, John Harith. How are you, buddy?
Everything good?
Did you see that President Trump was addressing the press?
I saw it. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, though. What has he said?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Boy, he's...
I saw he's expanded his vocabulary on Twitter today.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he is in... I don't know what kind of a mode to call it. If it's full defense or full offense, John...
Yeah, because you're right. It's a little of both all wrapped into one.
Exactly. Exactly. He is full on against Schiff right now and really, really hammering home on that. But at the same time, he keeps going back to the transcript and saying there was nothing wrong in it. There's a lot open to interpretation in the transcript, but in some cases, there's not a lot open to interpretation. Like when you say, but I need a favor.
Yeah, even the most generous interpretation still gives room for pause.
Right, right. Now, I don't know what all that means. That's way above my pay grade, okay? But at the same time, he's got to understand where some of the why the eyebrows went up.
Yeah,
he's got to, and he's not.
Well, obviously they did because
of
some of the actions they took after the phone call.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Corn, soybeans were lower today. Soybean meal also worked to the downside with bean oil pushing up. Wheat futures were under pressure. Live cattle futures really performed pretty decently. Closed on the plus side of unchanged. Feeder cattle were helped up by the lower corn prices. Closed higher. And lean hog prices were mixed today. What was moving the prices around, John?
Well, as mentioned yesterday, U.S. exporters were starting to participate in the uptick in global wheat trade, and trade sources confirmed that business today. Morocco purchased 30,000 metric tons of U.S. soft wheat, and South Korean flour mills bought about 77,000 metric tons of milling quality wheat. While the sales are good news, exporters say U.S. wheat prices remain above competing suppliers, which left the wheat market vulnerable to spillover pressure from corn and soybeans today. Where we ended, December hard red futures were 5¾ cents lower at 405¾. December soft red futures fell 9¾ cents to 489 even. December spring wheat, 5¼ cents lower at 527¾.
Yeah, it's that question of if you can be competitive for a short period of time, how long can you maintain that competitiveness? Well, as soon as the U.S. steps in and makes a sale, what happens to wheat prices around the world? They go down.
Yeah.
And you lose your competitive nature again. So it's a tough battle the wheat exporters are fighting.
Well, ethanol production in the week ending September 27th averaged 958,000 barrels per day, up 15,000 from the previous week, but still 57,000 barrels behind the same week last year. Mm-hmm. Ethanol stocks in the week jumped 719,000 barrels to 23.219 million barrels. But that tally is 226,000 barrels below the same week last year. After 2 days of solid gains and a test of key overhead resistance, corn prices sat back on some light profit-taking. Also, FC Stone yesterday raised its national average corn yield to 169.3 bushels an acre. That's up 0.9 of a bushel from the agency's previous estimate. Now traders are positioning for next week's crop production report from USDA. December corn futures 4¾ cents lower at 387¾. March corn down 4¾ cents at 399¾. May corn closed at 404¾, down 4½ cents on the day.
That 169.3 bushel per acre yield estimate from INTLFC Stone. If it is, if the survey is still done the same way as I understand it, there are a lot of elevator managers that are surveyed in coming up with that estimate. Okay.
Oh, really?
So it's not necessarily a farmer survey, but it's an elevator survey.
Any indication on what drove that number up?
It's got to be the guys, the elevator managers talking to the farmers. That's the only thing that I can think of. And they see the reaction when guys get their scale tickets off the early harvested stuff.
True. True. Yeah. All right. Well, USDA this morning announced the sale of 464,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans in China for the delivery in the current marketing year. Since mid-September, China has purchased about 2.1 million metric tons of U.S. beans, according to the daily reporting system. While the demand is welcome, bean prices were under light profit-taking pressure after INTLFC Stone estimated the national average bean yield at 48.1 bushels an acre, down just 0.2 of a bushel from the firm's previous estimate. November bean futures were 5 3/4 cents lower at 9.13 3/4. January beans fell 4 3/4 cents to 9.27 3/4. March beans closed at 9.38 1/2, down 3 cents on the day.
Okay, just so everybody knows, I'm still at 163.3 and 46.1, which was Pearl Farmer's estimate following the crop tour. I haven't seen enough evidence to change.
All right, well, quickly in the livestock, lower corn prices helped support feeder cattle futures and live cattle futures pushed to the upside on strength in choice box beef values. October cattle were 142.5 higher at 106.05, and December cattle futures jumped 80 cents to 110.62.5. October feeders were $1.10 higher at 142.07.5. Pork cutout prices were pushed up yesterday, but the lack of confirmed pork sales to China this week is taking the upside momentum out of lean hog futures. October hogs were 35 cents lower at 62.20. December hogs slipped 82.5 cents to 69.10.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Bubba, Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, what got into the stocks today? I mean, this market just kind of got the rug pulled out from underneath it, didn't it?
Well, I mean, good afternoon, sir. I mean,
yes.
You know, if you get what happened yesterday, the manufacturing number was bad.
Yep.
It created some selling. You've got some more bad information this morning. So, you know, people get a little bit nervous and they start to sell. You know, listen, we're near record highs. And of course, they start to panic. And of course, this could really accelerate with the ISM tomorrow, the services number, and then the jobs on Friday. So this week might have seen the top for a while. I mean, if we break below 2840 in the S&P, you might be able to kiss it goodnight for a while. So we'll be watching closely. But there's a pressure because people start to get nervous and they don't know what to do. And that's really what you're seeing. This whole market's been kind of artificial, anyways. The last 1,000 or 2,000 points.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. What about over in the grain side of things? Had a couple of nice days to start the week off that report on Monday, and we got a little pressure today.
Love them. Buy them on every support. I think corn failed right where it should have, right around 395. Wheat failed at $5, and soybeans failed. They both failed back into some support. I think they're going through the next time up. I think it's going to be a big fourth quarter, which is what I've been saying all along, and I think that's going to hold true. It's going to be a big fourth quarter for the grains, and I think we're going significantly higher.
Boy, I hope you've been on board for this move that we've got from the September lows of both corn and beans there, Bubba.
I've been, you know me, baby.
I've
been in.
Good.
I've been betting too long. I had to take some pressure, but again,
I think
you're pricing too much bad news. I know you got to go, so you're pricing too much bad news. You push them down too far, you're most likely going to rally.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Thank you, Todd. That is Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. When we come back, we're going to dive deep into the weather outlook. We've got Michael Clark and Kirk Hens from BAMWX.com up next on AgriTalk. We're talking with Josh Kelly, Seed Care Product Lead for Syngenta. Josh, how does Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment differ from the competition?
Great you ask. So I think there's two main differences that we want to call out when you're thinking about Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals. One being the rooting power that you get from Vibrance and the Cruiser Vigor effect that you get from the insecticide component of the mixture. So I'll talk to the Vibrance rooting power. So more and more research is pointing out that how important root health is to the overall crop productivity. And really what we feel like Sodexane, the active ingredient in Vibrance, really brings to the table is healthier roots actually allow for better moisture uptake, better nutrient uptake, that actually we feel like obviously boost cereal plants' rooting power, which should lead to optimized crop performance and really allows the grower to maximize their yield potential on that acre. Additionally, with the Cruiser Vigor effect, you get the added benefit in this formulation of a fungicide and an insecticide, that insecticide component being Cruiser 5FS, which provides protection against key insects such as aphids, wireworms, even in certain geographies. And you get the Cruiser Vigor effect, which should lead to, our data would show that you get increased germination along with the insect protection all in one easy-to-use premix formulation.
You know, the root health, that's what this Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals is all about, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, with the Sedexane component, along with the other fungicides that we have in the mixture, you're getting a halo of protection around that cereal seed. Vibrance, again, with the rooting power, you're getting protection against Rhizoctonia. With our other components being, you know, Maxim and Difenoconazole, you're getting added protection for Pythium, your butts and smuts, and really the total disease spectrum that one might find in their field, you're getting that protection with Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals.
That's so cool. Thank you, Josh. That is Josh Kelly, Seed Care Product Lead for Syngenta.
The sounds of success vary from person to person. Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. Along with 43 new varieties this year, Credenz soybeans come with agronomic expertise from BASF. That means expert advisors who bring local insights on seed selection, management decisions, and crop protection options. Knowing the kind of success you're shooting for? That's smart. Ask your local BASF seed advisor about Credenz soybeans. Always read and follow label directions.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Well, they better be in the coop, because if they're perched out on the fence and in the Midwest, they're more than likely soggy feathers come this point, because we've had plenty of rain. And the weather is what we're talking about. Let's bring in Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. Michael, how are you today, buddy?
Doing good, Chip. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, just fine. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's bring in Kirk Hands, also BAMWX.com. Kirk, it's good to talk with you again.
How you doing, Chip? Doing good, doing good.
Great, great, great. Let's talk about this huge blob that's making its way across the Midwest, the upper Midwest for the most part today. But, is it a continuation and more of this to come, or where do we stand here, Michael?
Yeah, so, you know, to put this into perspective, we're shattering record high temperatures from, you know, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, along the Ohio River. We've been 95 degrees for multiple days. And then you go up into North Dakota, and it's 32 degrees just west of Bismarck right now.
Yeah.
In between, you're stuck with all this rain that you mentioned here across Iowa, Minnesota. And more is coming Friday into Saturday. Another wave of heavy rain, a widespread 1 to 3 inches of rain's on the table. So this gradient where temperatures are 60 degrees and fluctuations in between is where you get all these, you know, you get this crazy weather.
Okay, I'm fascinated by the persistence of the moisture, Kirk. It does fascinate me, but the temperatures that we're seeing in those in that area that Michael was talking about, how in the world did we get there? How did we end up with those record high temperatures in the east?
Yeah, and it's a simple result, and as crazy as it sounds, because there's been so much talk about, you know, we're in an El Nino. Well, the atmosphere is feeling so incredibly La Nina-like right now, and La Nina in September and October is, you know, a central eastern U.S. ridge. So the more La Nina kind of the atmosphere, or more El Nino or La Nina the atmosphere is, the overall warmer you're going to be. And we've actually hit, we were like very close to the most La Nina-like atmospheric state ever recorded for September. So that is a result of some of your hottest temperatures ever recorded yesterday.
Okay, so are we in a La Nina or is it an El Nino? Clarify for me.
Yeah, so that's a tough question to always answer. So because you have two different criteria. You have your sea surface temperatures, which is along the equator of the ocean there. I would say overall you're feeling El Nino. You know, that drives different patterns and how the jet stream reacts. And then you have your atmosphere here, kind of just how the different, different features, the weather patterns, the low pressure systems, high pressure systems set up here globally. And that's a La Nina. So oftentimes we joke in our office, we're kind of in I don't even know what we call it here, El Nina, because you're feeling incredibly both different kind of, both of them at the same time. I mean, this would be an exact moment here where you're feeling both. And it's very hard to find research that has something similar.
You can't just Google La Nina.
Yeah, I wish it was that easy.
I don't think so.
It doesn't work that way? Okay. So Michael, take us to the backside. How did it get so cold on the backside of the front?
Yeah, it's the strength of the front. A lot of this is due from a recurving typhoon, a recurving tropical system in the Western Pacific Ocean. It helps, make these fronts what they are. But oftentimes when you have such a significant feature, you know, you have to remember we are into October now, and getting these kinds of temperatures up there is normal.
Yeah, that's yes, that's right.
So what makes it not normal is everybody in the Southeast is night. I mean, I'm looking at the map right now, and there's every single state in the Southeastern and Southern U.S. is 90 plus to 100 degrees right now.
Jeez.
And so when you see that, then people are like, well, what in the world? Even though it's kind of normal up there, it's not normal elsewhere, you know?
Right. Yeah, this is crazy. So the persistence of the rain in the Midwest, you already hinted at it, Michael. Do we get a couple of day break in here, but it comes back at the end of the week again?
Yeah, you'll get a couple of days, and then it gets back in here over the weekend. And again, some of the latest data has basically all of Iowa, northern Missouri, southern Minnesota, and western Wisconsin getting a good 1 to 2 inches additionally. And, you know, you're thinking, you got to think about where you've been the last 7 days. There are places in central Illinois and southern Iowa that have gotten 6 to 10 inches of rain.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, adding to that is just insult to injury over the weekend, unfortunately.
Right. Right. Okay. So, does this, the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day, 8 to 14 day that we got yesterday, Kirk, started to take some of this persistent wet pattern out. At least that's how I saw it. Are we going to get there for, what, the middle half of October?
So we definitely, next week, I think probably Monday to Thursday, maybe we can squeeze it to Friday. I think it's completely dry. They're going to have kind of a surface high pressure overhead. That's the good news. The good news is there's going to be a lot of dry time, call it 3 to 5 days consecutively, which is not unnormal after an excessively wet period. The problem is we're going to be, I would say, especially after the 13th to 15th here, through at least the 20th, maybe even stretch it to the 25th, we're seeing the same pattern set back up that brought these rains over the past week. Literally, I'm not really seeing really any differences here. You got your tropical forcing, what we call the MJO. It looks like it's going to hover in phase one, and you're going to return back to a really lightning-like atmospheric state. You combine those two together, you get your stout southeast ridge, you get your troughs to come through down in the northern plains, and they're going to clash. So I would say we got a dry period here, you know, call it 5 days maybe or so next week, and then I kind of see that same pattern returning, a version of that, maybe the 15th to 25th. So I don't think our woes in terms of moisture are over yet.
You guys, it was – go ahead, Michael. You were going to jump in.
Well, what I was going to say is, and Kirk, I think we can add to some early northern plains snow events are going to be in the cards here,
yeah,
wouldn't you think?
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see our first snow from Bismarck to Grand Forks and points to the north tonight. I mean, you're going to see some slushy mix work in there. So there's definitely going to be some early season snow events up there.
Yuck. Yeah. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Okay, so everybody's talking about nobody wants a repeat of the 2008 harvest season. And it sounds to me like we're on the edge of a repeat of the 2018 harvest season here, Kirk.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. The question is going to be how long does this persist? But like Michael said, you know, 6 to 10 inches is 6 to 10 inches. When you have cooler air to follow it, your evaporation rates are lower. Your time from sun up to sundown are lower, so you can't get rid of that rain as much. And then if you return back to a pattern, you know, even 5 days after some dryness, back to any kind of rain, it's kind of cyclical. So I am concerned. I know Michael's concerned.
I was just going to ask Michael if he sees it the same way.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
jeez,
you know, like a lot of what's done is done already. And so you're going to need multiple weeks of no rain. So any rain at all is not friendly. You know, that's the sad part to that.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I want to start looking at some specific parts of the country. Big Al Jack down in Texas has been talking about how persistently dry it's been down there. Mm-hmm. We going to see any relief down there, guys?
I can answer I was going to say, anytime you see this kind of La Nina-like pattern reemerge, what that simply means is a ridge is going to return for the central and eastern U.S. So if that would be me basically saying that, other than maybe northern Texas, I think it's, you're going to find it really hard and difficult to see any kind of pattern, that barring a tropical system, bring any substantial rain. I think it's going to be pretty difficult.
Yeah, and right now we don't have one of those tropical systems out there, do we?
No, there's nothing that would bring anything kind of close to that.
Okay, the question always comes in about the PNW. What should we be expecting there?
I think the PNW is wet, especially even in the next 10 days. I mean, the new Euro, the new GFS is both really wet up there with over 2 inches of rain. So cool and wet up there is a pretty confident call for now.
Gotcha. What about relief from these hot temperatures in the southeast? When does that happen?
Oh, gosh. I mean, You know, if you look at our week two outlooks, even on our site, you know, and everything, I mean, there's some brief relief, but it comes back. It's not going to last long.
Okay.
No.
All right. Okay, guys, we're talking with Michael Clark and Kirk Hands from BAMWX.com. When we come back, I want to get your winter weather outlook for the Midwest. So let's concentrate just on the Midwest there for the winter weather outlook. And then let's go down to Brazil and Argentina and get an update on what's happening in South America. BAMWX right here on AgriTalk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson joins us now. Jeff, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Today I'm watching the weakening stock market. U.S. stock indices fell for a second day to a five-week low as slower private sector hiring amplified the fears that trade tensions are slowing the U.S. economy. October has a history of stock market weakness, adding to Wall Street caution. The S&P 500 stock index fell more than 1% for a second day. The cash index gapped below its 100-day moving average after failing to make new highs last month. The market has left behind a four-week island top, and prices are probably headed for the 200-day moving average near 2837. Stronger support is more than 100 points lower than that.
All right, Jeff. Good stuff. Thank you, buddy. That is Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. thank you for joining us. We're talking weather today. We got the guys from BAMWX.com. If you've got a question, get on the line right now. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, and when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I will be sure to see it. Let's go ahead and recap how the markets closed today. December, hard red winter wheat futures, 5¾ cents lower at 405¾. Dece SRW wheat fell 9¾ cents to 489 even. December corn, 4¾ cents lower at 387¾. March corn was down 4¾ cents at 399¾. November bean futures, 5¾ cents lower at 913¾. Jan beans fell 4¾ cents to 927¾. October live cattle, 142½ higher at 106.05. October feeders were 110 higher at 142.07½. And October hogs, 35 cents lower at 62.20. Michael Clark, Kirk Hens, BAMWX.com. Okay, guys, let's talk winter weather outlook and what we should expect here in the Midwest. And, you know, I said, when I think Midwest, I'm thinking, you know, take us over in Nebraska, Kansas, the Dakotas, stuff like that.
Okay.
All right, what are you thinking?
So, first off, I'll kind of give you the two most recent years in terms of analogs, and we're thinking 04 and 05, and then 95 and 96 are a couple of good years. So when I say 95, 96, I mean December of 95 and then January, February of 96.
Right.
So, you know, generally it's certainly a colder than average pattern. And you have to think for the Midwest and the Northern Plains, the last several years, winters have just been pretty harsh and long lived. Mm-hmm. You know, you
there's that persistent, persistent word again, Michael.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, looking at our analogs and our temperature forecast, you know, it's definitely colder than average, and I think it can still be stormy and pretty snowy. Now, if there's an epicenter of where the most snow ends up, it might be, say, from Des Moines to Chicago over to central Michigan or something like that. But you're still going to have your fair share of good snowstorms, I believe, in the Midwest this winter.
So that Des Moines to Chicago, you're not saying that just because I'm in that path?
No. I know you were digging out last year, I think, in April still, weren't you?
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
But it didn't start until it held off for a while, didn't it? I seem to remember that it held off for a while, and we kind of got a late start to the snow. But but once it started snowing, it snowed persistently.
And a key factor this year, too, for folks that follow along with this stuff, we are now in officially a deep solar minimum in terms of tracking sunspots. There haven't been any sunspots. And essentially the simple research to that is that harsher, longer lasting winters are possible in those solar minimum years. The last time we had that was 08, 09, and 2010.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, I'm playing off of memory here, but in 95, 96, that led to a wet spring again in the Eastern Corn Belt in 96. Exceptionally late soybean plantings and corn planting in the Eastern Belt. And 04, 05, didn't we have a very isolated drought in the summer of 05? Basically, it was the shape of Illinois, because Illinois is where it was dry in 05, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so that's actually exactly right. Yep.
Good. Okay. Yep.
And two, you know, one other thing I might add to that is that if you recall back in 1995 was the coldest temperature that the state of Indiana has ever seen. It got down to actual air temperature, minus 27 degrees.
Just a little fact there, a little fun fact for
you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's outstanding. That's outstanding. So, you know, I think the lowest temperature I've ever seen on my truck thermometer was like negative 34 or something like that. Are you saying that we could be at risk of that over in the middle of the Corn Belt this year?
I don't know. I mean, I hope not, Chip. I really hope not too.
I hope not too. Okay, before we run out of time, let's go to South America, okay, guys? Kirk and Michael, it has been dry in key soybean-producing areas in Brazil, correct?
Yep. Yeah, it's incredibly different from last year. If you remember last year, we were going in, we were feeling great. It was the El Nino. We had rain everywhere. I mean, it was perfect planting conditions. There were no problems. And if you can think of a 180-degree turn, that's what this year is. I mean, we've had a ridge overhead. It's been hot. It's been dry. There are some places that haven't seen a drop of rain, well, the entire month of September and still yet in the main soybean region, too. So.
Okay. Now, when you say that, are you talking about Mato Grosso do Sul? The heart of the bean areas?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, so Mato Grosso, I would say it's more, I would say, on a hit and miss nature. Most of those locations are a little bit better. Over the last 2 months, definitely still in a deficit. But if you're talking about like Mato Grosso, do Sul, Goiás, Sao Paulo, Paraná is a big one too. Further east that you go in those major regions, especially the first corn crop going in down there, it's been under just kind of a death ridge almost, if you will, with no rain at all. And it's been some areas over 5 to 10 degrees above normal at the same time. So it's, you know, evapotranspiration rates are higher. Naturally, it's been really tough. And I don't really see a huge relief from that going ahead.
Okay. Before we get into the outlook too much there, take us down to Argentina. What's the season?
Yeah.
It's still very early in Argentina, but what's the season look like so far?
Yes, so far I would say definitely different than Brazil. We've had some moisture. Now, not everybody, you know, areas like Cordoba, Buenos Aires, some of those areas in there, they've been a little bit on the drier side of things. But typically the way this progresses, the deeper you get into October and especially November, some of those rains do return. Again, I think some of those major areas are a little bit dry right now, but the subsoil moisture is a heck of a lot better than central and eastern Brazil.
Okay. Are you ready to raise a red flag for the production season in Brazil?
Yeah, I've already raised it. I've been on the raised red flag in the last 2 to 3 weeks. The only reason so early is because we're coming into the season with so much less subsoil moisture and we've been so warm. And the atmospheric, I talked about the La Niña-like state, that's current and that's going to be going forward and grow. And so the same pattern driver that has been a result of the hot and dry is staying. And so that's what gives us the confidence of saying, I think most, if not all of October, maybe we can push it into November as well as I think we're considerably below normal in precipitation, above normal in temperature. There'll be hit and miss rains, but I don't see anything suggesting to me that we're going to be anywhere close to refilling the lack of rain that we have had.
Guys, I don't know. I'm sitting here trying to think how to ask this question. And I've known you both long enough now, I can just ask you, is that the consensus forecast or are you guys out on your own on this?
You know, I haven't really heard. I feel like I've been more of like the one maybe saying things people like I did in Argentina, you know, raising the red flag early because you can see the similar signs. I mean, La Niña down here means dry. So maybe some folks are thinking that, you know, we've got a problem down here. But just from a research standpoint, I feel like we've been a little bit early and boisterous on that because of the research and the data. It's not often they two match so closely. And so it's a concern for sure.
All right. Kirk, Michael, you wouldn't be as quiet as you are if you didn't agree with Kirk, right, on this outlook?
Yeah, I mean, they've, you know, pored over this, and I just have no reason to discredit or disbelieve it at all. I mean, I definitely think there's a worry and a red flag to consider down there, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Any other areas around the world here, guys, that we need to be aware of as far as, yeah. as the weather outlook goes?
Maybe one I can think of. I haven't heard a lot of discussion maybe on like the southern Canadian prairies. Okay. But we've already seen one kind of quote-unquote historically early snowstorm. Like Michael yeah. had talked about, the pattern that we have going ahead is very favorable for those to continue. So if I were to look and see, you know, where is a problem spot, given the year that we've had, I would say the southern Canadian prairies are not in a great favorable spot for really any improving weather ahead. I would be cautious about that.
For any improving
what you can add to that too is building an early snowpack there. It's already above average snow, and you know that could add to modify the air coming into the U.S. as colder and skew it towards a colder air source, if you will, source region for cold air. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Right.
Definitely.
Great.
Yep.
Great. That just sounds fantastic. You guys are wonderful.
I know. Yep. Sorry, Chip. Hey, we report the weather. We don't make it.
What? Well, then what are we doing having the convo? I'm just kidding.
I don't know. We should be on an island somewhere.
That's right. You guys, I always have a blast talking with you, and I love talking the weather with you guys. Thank you so much for making the time for us.
Thank you, Chip. Thank you, Chip. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Kirk Hands and Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. You know, I tell you, did they have – no, they really did. I guess if we're looking for good news, it's the bad news for Brazil in that weather outlook.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe.
A lot of things made this game possible. Practice, good weather, hot dog vendors, and believe it or not, crop nutrition. Smart crop nutrition, to be exact. For one person here, that's what made it possible to be at this game and to lose themselves in it. It came from Micro Essentials, a phosphate fertilizer from the Mosaic Company. It uses fusion technology to make a perfectly balanced granule that delivers season-long sulfur availability and uniform nutrient distribution. Every single plant in your field gets the ideal nourishment all season long. That means a healthier crop and higher yields, and it means a sense of security. A sense that things are going okay. And when you have that, you can have little moments like this too. Experience your own with Micro Essentials. Talk to your retailer or visit microessentials.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Sometimes that's how it feels, yes. welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. John Harith.
Yes.
Yeah, there he is. We've got the Farm Journal news director with us today.
I don't know that I want to join in after that.
Yeah, I know. I want to recap some of the conversation that we just had with Michael and Kirk. But I also want to remind everybody that if you did not get a chance to listen to this morning's first hour of AgriTalk, you go back and listen to it. A couple of reasons. We had Roger Johnson, the president of National Farmers Union, on this morning, and I'd not had him. He hasn't been on AgriTalk for a long time. It was the first time that I've had an opportunity to talk to Roger, and we've already made plans to get him back on because we didn't spend enough time. I didn't have enough time with Roger. So, sometime next week, we will have Roger back on and continue the conversation.
Thursday of next week, as a matter
Thursday.
Of fact.
Thursday. Okay. Yes. Thursday of next week. So looking forward to that. But the farmer forum that we had this morning with Gary Niemeyer and Casey Schumacher, I thought was really good. And the more I think about it, and I was going over my notes from that from the initial conversation that we had with Casey and Gary, I thought it was just outstanding. How they were talking about markets, and they were talking openly about some of their concerns about what is happening in the cattle market, in particular with Casey. I thought it is so encouraging to me, John. Well, you know how I feel on Fridays when I can disagree with Wiesmeyer, Haney, and Pam Johnson all at the same time.
Yes.
And come away with it still wanting to go to lunch with them or something like that.
Yeah.
That's how it was this morning with Casey. Casey's willingness, and this goes back to last week, too, with Jared McDaniel. Their willingness to talk about what is going on in the cattle market and talk with level-headedness, I think, is so important going forward to actually finding a solution. And potentially accepting a solution. And the reason that I say accepting is because we do have the Packers and Stockyard investigation that is going on. Part of the rally today in Omaha is calling for enforcement of the Packer and Stockyards Act. Well, the investigation is happening. And I'm so glad that it's happening, John. You've heard me say this before, but if we left this that is exactly right. If we left this time period and we left this cattle market for 6 months with no Packers and Stockyards Act investigation, it would have been ugly. And it still might be ugly. But at least the investigation is happening. That is so important, I think.
Well, and I think it's equally important that we find out the results of that investigation fairly soon.
Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. Don't make us wait those 6 months. At least give us some preliminary findings along the way. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. So, you ready for the for that persistent, long, drawn out, harsh, cold winter?
No, I did not like much of anything they had to say there, but at least now we know to be prepared for what's coming.
Yeah, that is true. Right up front, two things, and I don't know if I'm going to go the first most important and second most important, or if it's a 1 and 1A kind of situation, but I'm – oh, boy, don't kill me on this, guys. I'm going to go with the persistent drought in key bean-producing areas of Brazil as the most important thing that we talked about. If that continues and we run into those production issues in Brazil, we talk so often about the supply-side cushion, the beginning stocks, and yes, we've got a huge supply-side cushion going into the 2019-20 marketing year for soybeans, 913 million bushels, according to Monday's quarterly grain stocks report. That supply-side cushion is not just for the U.S. That is a global cushion. And the reason that I say that is because we get a new crop every 6 months, one out of South America, one out of North America. And When you're in that kind of a situation, you've got to look at your annual supply of soybeans. 913 million bushels is a wet blanket sitting over the top of the market. Now, as you look at the projections for the 2019-20 marketing year and where we may end up at, the expectations are, call it 700, 650 million bushels and falling. Well, and falling is what puts upside momentum into prices and makes the sellers in that market more reluctant. It makes the sellers hesitant. And with the funds already short corn and already short soybeans, if we can just make the sellers hesitant in this market, I think that's that may be enough to give us a bit of a recovery.
That would be good news.
Yes. Now, we had the question, I believe it was yesterday. Yes, it was. No, it was on Monday. The question came in, how is the 2019 fall corn market lining up with the 1993 corn market? And I said I was going to have to go back and take a look at it. It is early. It is early. We're starting the move to the upside early, but it is really looking very similar. Mm. I talked about it during crop tour that, you know, crop-wise, it's going to be different than 1993. But market-wise and timing-wise, it might be very similar to what we saw in 1993. That seems to be developing. It really does. If you get a chance, take a look at that 1993 corn chart. And look at the March 1994 contract just to give you some consistency through it. That's what I did. And I think you'll like what you see as far as what it means we might see in this corn and soybean market going forward. All right. Thank you for listening today. Thanks to Bubba. Thanks to Michael and Kirk from BAMWX.com. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have Colin Woodall from NCBA, John Newton from AFBF, and tomorrow afternoon, Chris Barron from AgView Solution with some harvest season risk management strategies.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold.
Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.